When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are back with another season review, this time with Sam, who you can find on Twitter at Mr. Sam E. Cox. We did a Pierre-Emile Højbjerg for Kyle Walker-Peters segment that came out yesterday. If you want to go listen to that, it'll be included in the description here. But now we're here to talk about Southampton's season. Obviously, ups and downs. There's a scoreline that I'm not going to make you talk about, but if you get there, feel free. Every TV announcer has done it thus far. But I wanted to start by talking about since the restart. You had the third best form since the restart happened. Just pretty incredible performances. What did you make of that section in particular? And then we'll step back and look at the overarching picture.
Yeah, like most, was really impressed with how we came back from the restart. I think our fitness was key to that. I think we entered the restart on 34 points, so we weren't particularly safe. We knew we had to pick up a couple of wins. We weren't necessarily looking over our shoulder, but we knew that threat was still there. And to get the points and to get the form and pick up the wins that we did was really impressive. I think there were some really tricky games in there as well. Obviously, Manchester City at home. Bournemouth away in there, and Arsenal at home, of course. So, yeah, was really pleased to finish on the points total that we did. And I think the restart and the prolonged break actually did us a hell of a lot of favours. Nathan Redmond would have probably missed the rest of the season with an injury that he picked up. So he came back and was great for us, was integral to us. And, of course, I'm sure we'll talk about him a bit later, but Danny Ings just carried on his hot form, and the end of the season has made most Saints fans really excited for the next one.
Yeah, I think from the outside looking in, it's very easy to kind of look at the restart as a demarcation point. But how was your form before that? Like, are we just post-dating it because we only saw it after the restart?
Yeah, so the form before the restart was really hot and cold. I think the final result before we went into lockdown was a 1-0 home defeat to Newcastle. I know that Mr. Gennaro got sent off relatively early in that match, but there were still question marks over our home form. The form around the Christmas period really gave us the boost and the lift to where we were in the league. I know away wins to Chelsea, away wins to Crystal Palace, and of course the 2-1 away win to Leicester really lifted us above the relegation zone. But as I say, it was quite inconsistent. The home form was letting us down, but we were fantastic away from home. And going into lockdown, as I said earlier, we were still looking over our shoulders a little bit on 34 points because we knew that might not have been enough to be safe. It was going in and we were quite inconsistent, I would say. But as you said, coming out of the lockdown, we kept our fitness levels high and we really made the most of it.
Yeah, well, definitely an impressive run there. On the season's whole, how would you rate your year and how did it just progress from match week 1 to 38 plus, as they ended up being denoted?
Yeah. If to rate between 1 and 10, I would give it a 7 to finish 11th on 52 points off the top of my head, I think it was. Was just fantastic. I mean, 52 points, that's 6 more points than Claude Puel achieved when we finished 8th. So, I mean, 11th place and looking at it just below the top half of the table is a fantastic season considering the two seasons that came before it. I think we started the season slowly. We we lost on the opening day to Burnley away from home 3-0. It was quite a damning defeat as well. We picked up wins against Brighton and a draw against Manchester United, which then got the ball rolling, and we thought, okay, we're just a bit of a slow start. And then, of course, that result happened that you said at the start of the show. I said it's every Saints fan hears it on every game that's broadcasted at least 10 times. But it's a point that we have to talk about. It's not just because of the record that will probably stand for a little while now, and how, you know, how embarrassing it was that night, but it was the turning point in our season. It really was. I think the stat is that from that point onwards, we picked up more points than Leicester did from then to the end of the season. And yeah. So from that point onwards, we started picking up results. It was sort of make or break for us from that point onwards. And I think the biggest thing was after that 9-0 result, I think most clubs would have been very tempted to sack their manager. We came out straight away. And I think the quote from Martin Semmons, our chief executive, was, "We'd rather sack all the players than sack the manager." And that just shows the effect that Ralph had from the board. And I think that gave Ralph the boost. And it also showed Ralph that, to go back to basics, I think he was playing a lot of players in their wrong position, whether that was because of injuries, because of lack of form, because of the squad patterns wasn't right. But we signed a player called Kevin Danso in January on loan as a centre-back. And I don't think he even played centre-back for us. He played at right-back, he played at left-back. And that was one of many players who were sort of wedged into positions to try and play a role. And I think from that defeat to Leicester, Ralph went right back to basics. If you surplus the requirements in certain positions, you won't play. And I think, touching on Kevin Danso, he played once or twice from that result. We rarely saw him again, and he's gone. We haven't using our option to buy him, and he's gone back on gone back to Augsburg, I should say. And yeah, I think the turning point was that defeat to Leicester and the faith shown in Ralph. And as you say, he's now signed a 4-year contract, which every Saints fan is absolutely delighted with.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people have laid the turnaround at Hasenhüttl's feet, and oh, what did he do to turn everything around? But ever since he came in, you and I were talking about how, you know, that was the best business you did that winter, was getting in your manager. And obviously there are some dips and everything, but I think now everybody sees just how good he can be. What did you make of his first full year in charge?
Highly, highly impressive. And he's arguably too good for us. And I'm hoping that it will be a long while yet until a top club who he deserves to be at realizes that. Of course, there was a lot of question marks surrounding him around that defeat to Leicester, but he's shown us, the fans, and the players themselves that he's the man for the job. And yeah, very, very impressive. I think, again, he was just been awarded Manager of the Month. That's the same number of Manager of the Month that Pochettino received while at Southampton.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's, he's very close to be on the pedestal with Ronald Koeman and Pochettino, and maybe Nigel Adkins as well, the man who obviously took us from League One to the Premier League. But I am very impressed. And although I say with that defeat, he's come in, revitalised the club that looked to be going one way, and that was towards the Championship. There's no doubt about that. And now, for, you know, in a short space of time, really 18 months he's been here, Saints fans are no longer looking down at the Championship. We're looking up and hopefully looking to sneak a little place into the Europa League. I know it was a on-running joke with Southampton fans that with the Man City potential ban, that a place might drop down to eighth and that we could sneak in there. But after the end of the season, after the restart in our form, the talk of the Europa League, albeit a little premature, I'll hold my hands up, it's not something that's really out of the question with this man at the helm.
Yeah, definitely an impressive performance from him, and he just seems absolutely classy. I'm sure you're right. Yeah. Maybe it's concerning that people are talking about how good he is now. And you're like, shush. Go back to being ignorant of that fact. Obviously, another reason why you finished as high as you did this season was Danny Ings, who was in the Golden Boot race just until the death of it. Everybody always knew how talented he was, obviously, since he was at Burnley when they came up all those years ago. But injuries just seemed to nag him throughout a lot of his Liverpool career, his early Southampton career. But it seems like everything just came together for him this season. Do you think he was performing particularly better? Was he getting better service? Just what led to this resurgence for him?
I think there's a number of factors why Danny Ings has had the season he's had. First of all, I think he's just a quality striker, and I think he's been getting the minutes he deserves. Another factor, I remember seeing on his Instagram or his social medias during the summer of last year, and I think he was in America with a specialist coach and was working really hard to come into the season and really hit the ground running. He wasn't quite the starting striker at the start of the season. Che Adams got the nod over him, of course, a £15 million signing who came in. But I think the two goals against Portsmouth in the derby, I mean, it wouldn't be a season review without me mentioning that result. But those two goals in the 4-0 win over our biggest rivals gave him godlike status straight away. And I think the ball started rolling from there. And I think he plays Ralph's system perfectly. That was going to be my final point as to why he's had such a good season. I think he's the perfect striker for Ralph's system. He holds the ball up well. He links players. But, of course, he's clinical inside the box. And for a team near the bottom end of the table, to have someone like that is absolutely crucial. And we were lucky to have him. I dread to think of where we would have been without him. But he's just a top-quality striker. And I'm blessed and I feel lucky to watch him play 90 minutes, because it's not just the goals that he scored this season. It's everything with his hold-up play, as I mentioned, the way he brings players in, his touch, the way he's strong on the ball, the way he gets his head down and can beat a player. I think he's just fantastic. And we're fortunate in many ways that he's already had a move to a big club, and due to injuries, it didn't go to plan. And now he's back playing somewhere, his hometown club, somewhere he's adored by the fans. You ask any Southampton fan, I'd put money on the fact that the replica shirts, the new shirts that have just come out, Ings number 9 will be the most sold shirt. He's just adored by us. And the fact that he's a Southampton fan, a Southampton boy as well, just makes it even better. Mm. And then he's just a top quality striker. I think we saw it at Burnley. I mean, you don't get a move to Liverpool for no reason. And I think Klopp speaks highly of him as well. I know I'm waxing lyrical about him, but you've got me going, and he's just fantastic. And for a player to score that many goals in a team which has been void of goals ever since sort of Pella and Mane left, to see that, I think Saints fans just wanted to stay injury free. And I think that has been the main thing for him. I said it a couple of games before the end of the season, and my dad and a couple of friends sort of that I jinxed it. I said the thing about him is he's been injury free, and he's had a run of games probably for the first time since his Burnley days where he's banging lots of goals. So it comes to no surprise now that he's been able to look after his body, and the goals have gone flying in.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, he's definitely been impressive. On a personal note, I only brought him in FPL after the restart, and that was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Should have probably believed in him a lot earlier. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we did just do a whole segment on the Højbjerg for Kyle Walker-Peters, air quotes, swap deal. So go and listen to that if you want kind of our full thoughts on it. But just the kind of quick recap, what do you make of that swap?
yeah, a fantastic deal for both parties. Walker Peters came in and filled the void at right back, which has been there arguably since Nathaniel Clyne left for Liverpool in 2015, I want to say. So it's been a long time. That position's really hindered us. I know Cedric did a good job for us under Ronald Koeman, but mismanagement from poor managerial appointments and his shortcomings let us down. And then from there, Jan Vari came in, had a good stint, hadn't really lived up to the potential so far, and Ralph was forced to play players out of position there. So Walker Peters for us, fantastic deal. And touching on Højbjerg, he was going into his final 12 months of his contract. So if we didn't sell now, he would have gone for free next summer. So again, I think it works for both parties. We're really pleased to have Walker Peters, and we're thankful for Højbjerg. It's an amicable move, unlike some moves leaving us in the past. I wish him well, and I'm really pleased that Walker Peters has come in.
Yeah, definitely looks like a positive step for both clubs. As you say, obviously the downside is that you do lose a piece in your central midfield. Is there anybody in-house that you'll think will step into that role, or do you think that's a position that you'll target in the window?
I think we'll definitely target it in the window. I think we need to. I think depth has been a bit of a problem for us for a few seasons now. I know we've been linked with McKennie from Schalke. I think I've seen rumours, you know, it's silly season, we're in the transfer window, so rumours may not be to be believed, but he's been a player who's heavily linked with us, and it looks likely that deal could go through. But if he doesn't, then we've got players who can step in. Oriol Romeo filled the gap for Højbjerg across the restart. I know Højbjerg only made two, three starts in the restart, and Højbjerg's place was filled well by Romeo, who's been at the club for a little while. Harrison Reed is a player who's been out on loan for the past three seasons, I want to say, and he's just won promotion with Fulham. He's a defensive midfielder. The only worry with Harrison Reed is that he's the same age as Højbjerg. People seem to forget that. And he hasn't.
Oh, but he still has that prospect status.
Yeah, he is that type of player who, because he's not broken through, people still believe he's much younger than he is. I think he's 8 months older than Højbjerg, in fact. I think he's just the same age as Ward-Prowse, who broke in two, three seasons ago. And he's been here. I remember Pochettino gave him his chance. But since then, Koeman, Puel, Pellegrino, Hughes and Ralph have all been able to have a look at him and haven't fancied him. So that's the worry with Reed. So I believe that Harrison Reed's move to Fulham will probably be made permanent, like the Walker Peters loan to permanent with us. So it's definitely a position we need to target in the window. Whatever money we get from Reed and Højbjerg will hopefully fund that.
Yeah, any chance Lamina gets another chance at the club, or do you think he'll be sold on permanently?
Lamina, it's a difficult one with Lamina, because under Hughes and under Pellegrino, he actually looked like a very good footballer. He was really impressive under those two. Ralph has come in, and I think it was a little bit unfortunate for Mario Lamina in some ways that he was injured. I think he was injured when Ralph came in, and I'm not sure he really returned to full fitness, because he was impressive, but what sort of let him down was he had an air of, I want to say arrogance, but maybe that's for a lack of a better word, about him. I think he perhaps fell out with Ralph. I remember this time last year, he put a montage of himself on his own Twitter, saying that the quote was, "I know what I can achieve, and I will work hard to achieve that." And I think he may have fallen out with Ralph. I would like to see him given another go if he can. But again, if we can move him on for some money, and we can invest that back into the squad, then no one's going to begrudge that. I think him and Charlie Austin were in the same boat this time last summer, training on their own. Didn't go on pre-season tour as they were looking for moves. So I think that ship has probably sailed. I think Ralph is that type of character to if you're not on board with his plans and his ideas, then he'll happily move you on. Hopefully, again, it won't be a loan deal like it was to Galatasaray, because we've got a lot of players out on loan. There's players who have come in for big money.
You almost have a full 11 on loan.
Yeah, Guido Carrillo's won £20 million. We saw him a handful of times, and he's been shipped out on loan. Wesley Hoyt is another one. The list goes on. El Yunusi's gone back to Celtic on loan. So it's time we turn these loan deals into permanent, so we can invest in the squad and help Ralph achieve what he wants to do with the squad.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because it sounds pretty similar with us with Kyle Walker-Peters. Obviously, the two of us linked in that deal, and that sounds like you're selling three central midfielders to buy one, and we might be selling two right backs to sign one. It's an interesting policy, but I guess if you combine all of those sales into the player that you really want at a position, then it'll prove worth it. Any other potential positions that you might address this summer? Or, well, it's already summer, but players that might be coming in or out?
We're heavily linked with the centre back. I think that's a position that Ralph knows that we need to invest in. Although Jack Stevens has been arguably our most improved player this season, he looked like he fell out of favour. Yannick Vestergaard hasn't lived up to any hype that came in. He looks surplus to requirements, and I believe we're close or have signed Mohamed Salisu from Real Valladolid. Sky Sports reporting yesterday that the deal has been done. Saints haven't made any confirmations on Twitter or on the website, so we're waiting for that one. Again, Højbjerg's gone. We need a central midfielder. Apart from that, I think we just need some more depth, perhaps in the wide positions. Redmond and Armstrong seem to have the nod, but the thing is, we've got Genepo and Bufal as well, who can play on those positions. So I think a centre-back and a central midfielder with Kyle Walker-Peters coming in, I'd be happy with that business. I'd be happy with that business. But yeah, hopefully a centre-back, Salisu seems close, and seems like another young prospect who Ralph can hopefully mould.
All right, well, with those kind of transfer-y thoughts still in mind, obviously you mentioned finished 11th this season. What are you expecting for next year?
More of the same, hopefully. I think at times I've been very guilty of it. I think Saints fans have been very guilty of it. Our expectations have perhaps exceeded the realms of possibility in terms of the squad. Another mid-table finish, I'll be happy with that. You know, fans of a club like ours, a cup run would be great. I'm expecting us to be in and around the same position. Hopefully, if we can fix the home form, then who knows? We might even be able to push for a European place, but that's not something that I'm really too expectant of just yet. As long as we can invest in the squad, make progress under Ralph again, then I'll be happy with another mid-table finish, that's for sure.
One of those unexciting seasons where you're never really worried about falling into the relegation fight.
Not worry about relegation again, and if we can sneak into the European place, then that's great. The past two seasons, past two and a half seasons, have not been fun. Have not been biting your nails towards the end of the season with a shootout against Swansea City when it stays up is not. I'll take an 11th place finish every day of the week over that scenario.
Yeah, forgot about that. Also earlier, when you mentioned Graziano Pella, I forgot that he like regularly started for Italy in that Euros. So a couple of fun memories that you've brought up in this.
That's good, yeah. That Koeman season, Van Dijk, Pella and Mane just wow. Yeah.
Yep.
If I don't think too much about it, I won't cry.
Fair enough. Well, we won't make you do that. So we'll end things now. So if you want to tell folks where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can just find me on Twitter, Mr. Sam E. Cox.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck with Kyle Walker-Peters and next season on the whole.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.